It's a great, it's a privilege to be able to come celebrate God's plan of salvation in the weekly Sabbath and be able to expound on His words. Hope everyone had a wonderful feast wherever you were. We were down in Port Aransas, or Aransas Pass, I guess technically, in Texas. Didn't know what to expect. I wasn't quite sure, but we actually thoroughly enjoyed that feast site. It was had a nice meeting facility, a chance for us to fellowship quite a bit before and after services and get together. So I would highly recommend Aransas Pass if it's not hasn't been on your radar before. It was also a lovely trip because right afterwards we had a chance to go visit my brother and his family that lived actually not too far away. Of course, that's Texas speak, not too far away. It was 5 hours. But it was good to be able to spend time with him as well. So once again, I hope you had a wonderful feast wherever you were, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. Getting into the sermon, if you're looking for a title, a sermon, I'll try to pronounce it properly, submitting a Christian concept. You know, the term and concept of submission will not be heard in many contemporary wedding ceremony. As a matter of fact, if you attend weddings that have a religious overtone, even then, you don't hear the term or the concept of obey in submission. It's now commonplace to take it out. Concept is often not widely accepted in today's society. If you look at our current political environment, if you look at the what would be considered role models of people today, athletes and actors and academia and so forth, you would not pick up on this concept of submission. Actually, quite the opposite. You'd be considered weak. You'd be considered, you know, submitting. No, you need to get what is rightfully yours. Or students willing to submit to their teachers in once again, in today's school. An environment that is really an antithesis of God's way. When there is strife, generally, in general term, when there's strife, whether it be in a family setting, whether it be in a community setting, whether it be in any setting where you have more than one person, when there is strife, it is likely the result of either one or both sides not yielding, not being willing to submit. So today I would like to review the importance of submission in a Christian's life and how it really remains integral in our walk to the kingdom of God. So let's start in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 7. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit, therefore, and by the way, I'm reading from the New American Standard, or New King James, I believe, is therefore submit. So therefore is it's a summation of what was previously stated. In this case, verses 1 through 6. In verse 1, it's what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? And why do you have trials? Why do you struggle? Why do you have conflict? But therefore submit. So submit, therefore, to God. I probably would not get much argument from people, or most people, that we should submit to God. Of course, that means different things to different people, what submission to God is. But how applicable is it to us, once again, as Christians? The direction we see in the scriptures of submission extends beyond a submission of God. So yes, we should submit to God, but how else can we apply submission? The Greek word that is translated predominantly as submit or submission comes from, or the Greek word is hupotasso, hupotasso. It means to put yourself into subjection to subject oneself, to submit to, in essence, one's control. Is a Greek military term meaning to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, or carrying a burden. When we think about this word and the concept, even in the military term, in the use of being willing to be under control, the concept of submission is not so much the arrangement of hierarchical. The concept of submission is the willingness to be under control of someone else or be in submission to someone else. Once again, a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So let's talk about a few different areas that as Christians, where can we have the opportunity to be in submission and to submission? Where we start off by talking about submission to God. Let's cover a couple other scriptures related to that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might in which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Christ was placed in authority over the world, and he was placed in authority over the church. And we have the opportunity to be in submission to him. Talk more, a little bit more about what that means. Also, Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Being subjective or being submissive to God. And once again, I think this would be probably the most common a concept of something we understand and appreciate and would agree to, and there's no question about. So we are to be in submission to God. The next point is that we need to be, or we are, or should be, I should say, in submission at the individual or relationship level. We should be in submission at the individual level or the relationship level. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Ephesians 5 and verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Or New King James Version is submission, or submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We start off by giving this example, and wives, you need to submit. But I think that's a more of a cursory view that if you don't better understand the concept of submission can maybe be a bit more damaging. Let's actually go back a verse and say, we read that we are to be subject to one another, or submit to one another in the fear of Christ. And Paul, in finishing up or talking in that particular section of Scripture, is talking about the relationship that Christians have. And he finishes it by a statement, is that we should be subject to, we should submit to, hupotasso. We should put ourselves in control to someone else. But notice it's to one another. To one another. And I think if we dwell on what does that mean, what does that mean in the concept of submission, it helps to open up a different perspective for us. Because if we think more submission being a hierarchical relationship or having something be controlled by something else, then we misunderstand what Paul had said about being submitting to one another. So if you're submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, it's a relationship that goes beyond hierarchical. And it's a sense and an attitude that goes beyond hierarchical. Let's further look at that when Ephesians 6, or Paul, for example, in verse 25, says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." And then in verse 31, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." One flesh. And when you talk about one flesh, it's equal in value. It's equal in importance. It's the concept of submission is to give strength to the whole of the part, not to describe just simply a hierarchical relationship. Because if it was just simply wives submitting to husband at two different levels, how can you be one if you're two different levels? You become one flesh. And that gets back to verse 21, where Paul says, "Be subject to or submit to one another in the fear of Christ." Two become one, and we cannot become yielding to each other. We cannot become one without yielding to each other in the institution that God has ordained. Now, historically, within the church, outside the church, we have not applied, you know, this concept and this scripture the best, because we've looked at it as in a hierarchical relationship, as opposed to the value of submitting to one another. And it's the same in this case. We've talked about the marriage relationship, but the concept still applies at the relationship. Christ is described as being the head of the church. There is one body. As individuals, as Paul just stated, we need to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. So we have the opportunity to submit at the individual or relationship level. Another opportunity for us to submit, as provided in Scriptures, is a submission to the church and to elders. Let's look at a couple of scriptures related to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16.1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. "Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they had devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. that you be in subjection, that you be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanus and for Fortunatus and Achaicus, so that they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge such men. So Paul is talking about, you know, brethren to submit. You be in subjection, verse 16. Subjection, same Greek word, hupotasso. Paul was instructing the folks to be in submission, to submit themselves to the ministers, the elders, these individuals that were coming. Well, it doesn't specifically state that they were elders, but they had a position of responsibility in the church. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Peter is giving instruction to the congregation and responsibilities. And in verse 5, it says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject, be in submission to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." We are to subject ourselves, you know, to the elders, whether it be those that have a position. It may not be an ordained position, but someone who has status and standing is being considered a pillar of the congregation. We also understand being subject to elders, and as we just read, being subject to one another. For some of you, this may rub your fur the wrong way. Just as historically husbands have not held up their end of the bargain or their end of the deal on how to lead with love, and historically, well, some elders, or whether it be ministry or elders defined as those of us who are a bit more advanced in age, some of us elders have not demonstrated a service reflective of God's love. Unfortunately, that's reality. I mean, we're all human, we're all growing, we're all learning. And historically, minister elders or leaders have in good attempts in believing to do what they needed to do at that particular time, may have done some things and said some things and provided guidance that was not reflective. However, that does not change God's scriptures. It does not change the responsibility that God has given us. And it doesn't change the expectation that God has for us to practice and to know and understand that we are to be in submission. So why is that? Well, let's also look at another opportunity for us to be submissive, and that is to be submission to those in authority. We have an opportunity to practice submission to those in authority. So let's look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans 13 and verse 1, Paul states, "Every person," so there's no exception, "is to be in subjection to the governing authorities." Very simply put, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. "For there is no authority except from God, and those of which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. Interesting statement. The concept around being submissive to those in authority, as ordained by God, it is a minister of God to you for good. God describes it as being good for us to practice that, to rehearse that, to do that, be in submission to authority. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Let's also look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. So it's not just Paul, now we're talking Peter. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to the governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Once again, very clear statements about the concepts of authority in being in authority. Now it leads itself to the next obvious question. But what about those in authority who are not the sharpest tool in the shed? So hypothetically, let's just say someone runs for, I don't know, let's just say the presidency of the United States, and ends up being a divisive character. Maybe even some would describe it as a bit buffoonish. Hypothetically. Does that excuse ourselves of the need to be in submission to one in authority? What if the person simply does not deserve the respect of being in submission to that office? Let's continue in verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, it for the sake of conscience towards God. A person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and harshly treated, you endure it with patience, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. The question of submission, as Paul was talking about in Romans, it's for our benefit, and it is for God's benefit. It's not because we agree with someone, or it doesn't mean that we need to substitute our belief system in what we feel is important and what should happen in a human government established on this earth while we wait for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean we do any of that. What it does mean is that we are willing to submit and respect that office as far as authority, because it is for our benefit, and as Paul describes, it is for God's benefit. Paul stated in Romans once again that the effect of our submission to authority was a messenger of God. We are to submit to those in authority, whether they deserve it or not. Now, a caveat is, I'm not talking about that we need to be willing to suffer abuse or an environment that causes issues and problems with our ability to honor God and keep God's ways. It's a topic for another sermon. But it's too easy, especially we see it in the example in society, and society can have quite the impression on us if we're not careful, is that, well, if we don't agree with them, then we don't have to show them respect. We don't have to submit. We look for reasons to not to. There's different examples where God has provided in his scriptures an opportunity for us to submit and why we should submit. But why is this important? Well, especially, you know, at times you could say, once again, looking at a boss. Tammy and I were talking about on the way here, different times where we have different bosses that are not easy to work for. And we see examples that we've already talked about in today's environment and today's political system, where there doesn't seem to be any good choices for folks to lead our nation. And it is so easy then to dismiss the concept of authority. So why is it so important? Why does God say again and again and again and give examples of submission and submission to authority and defining authority and the good for it is for us? Why is it so important? Let's look back at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both in signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him? Or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have appointed him over the hands of of the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Here in Paul describing, in essence, the Jesus Christ's role of, once again, all things being subjected and being put in subjection to him. For in subjecting, once again, in verse 8, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. Now, as we just celebrated, you know, God's plan of salvation through, you know, the feast and the kingdom of God. In the kingdom, God wants submission. He wants subjection to him. Because he's done this once. If we look back at Ezekiel and Isaiah, God established beings, you know, created beautiful beings like you know, Satan was described, Lucifer was described, the morning star, as being wonderful and beautiful until iniquity was found in him. until that point in time when Satan said, you know, I don't want to be subject to you. I think I can do it better. I like my way better than your ways, and I'm so beautiful and so awesome and so forth. Why do I need to listen to you? In establishing God's plan of salvation and Satan being put away, God wants obedience. He does not want a repeat of Lucifer. And simply put, he wants to provide us the opportunity to develop that righteous character of submission. Part of our being an example to others is our ability to show an attitude of submission. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding or hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For those who read this under the guise of a superficial view, you know, women are to be meek. They're to be quiet. They're not supposed to have an opinion. You can't have an opinion and be meek and quiet. And that does disjustice to the concept of submission. As we just read in the concept of being submitting to one another, here Peter is talking about the quality of being willing to submit and how it is such an example. But guys, we've already read it. We have our responsibility of being submissive as well. Submissive to one another. And if we're only looking at it through one prism, through one angle, we lose out on what God is teaching us here. The concept of submission and developing the attitude of submission is once again critical. So, how do we develop this attitude of submission? How do we develop it? Talked about what it is. God defines it. Why it's important. Well, how do we develop this attitude of submission? The answer can be found back in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. We actually read it before. At 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have, for us to develop develop submission and a submissive quality in our lives, is we need to have the spirit of humility, to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. The word Peter uses is tapinostrune. How about that? Except for some reason it kind of sounded like a little Russian accent for a Greek word. But anyway, it means to have a humble opinion of oneself. A humble opinion of oneself. And once again, what does that mean? A humble opinion of oneself. Does that mean you don't have an opinion? Does that mean you don't have characters and traits and a personality? Absolutely not. what it means is that you understand your position, your place as part of this relationship about this need to be submissive. It means to have a humble opinion of oneself, and it is an important quality of that which makes up the mind of Christ. When we hold to the theory that we know more, that we are superior to all, we obviously constrain our ability to show humility and in turn to submit. And this applies to all aspects of humility. Whether it be we discuss this submission, whether we discuss submission to two elders or the leaders of the church. We just finished celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles mentioned in Aransas Pass. And having coordinated music for a number of years, it's interesting to get to know the different personalities. I think I've used the examples here in a sermon about, for example, differences in music and such. But it's interesting to note the different approaches that all coordinators have. It's quite varied. It's quite varied. And reflecting back on way back in, I think it was 1991, I was helping out with a feast in Dayton, Ohio. That's where we lived. Actually, it's 1990, not 91. 1990. Went to the feast in Dayton, Ohio. It was called a resort area, a place of last resort. From Dayton, Ohio. I like the area. But anyway, it wasn't a popular attraction if you wanted to go enjoy somewhere warm in the beach and such. But anyway, it was a great feast site. And the coordinator was very, very, very structured. And there you could see it in the personalities. It was back then, it was an arena. We had it in the Hare Arena, the 5,000-seat arena. We had this big, huge stage set up on one side. And that afternoon, before the first service, you know, the coordinator was standing there looking at the stage and asked somebody for a tape measure. So they gave me a tape measure, and he measured the one side and measured the other side, and he said, "This is what I thought. This is 2 inches off center. We need to move it." His approach was that, you know, this is God's feast. We want to do things right. We want to be good, so therefore, the stage had to be moved 2 inches to the right. And, you know, that was his personality. And we just finished up in Aransas Pass, and the coordinator there is just about as chill and relaxed as you can get. You know, we could say what's right, what's wrong. We prefer one versus the other. But in all reality, the fact is that we're attending a feast where God placed his name. The festival coordinator is the one under authority, or providing, he's the one in authority, I should say. We're under authority, we're serving, we're doing our best. There's different approaches and different personalities and different likes and dislikes. And what may work at one feast site doesn't work for another, or you know, I think I'm beginning to belabor the point, but you understand. And the important thing is that do we have a sense of humility where we say, you know what? I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter than that coordinator. You know, doesn't he know that they're doing it wrong? But a sense of humility. I can't remember if I've shared it here before, but my favorite Church of God joke is that you get 3 deacons in a room, you get 5 opinions on how to set up chairs. And so how do we find ourselves in this environment where we say, do we want to be part of that body to make things go smoothly, to make things go well? And so once again, if we think we know more, if we think we're superior, it constrains our ability to drive that unity in that submission. How do we develop an attitude of submission? Is by the spirit of humility. We also drive an attitude of submission is because we're willing to yield to become part of something. We are willing to yield to become a part of something. In other words, do we recognize the fact that, as Paul is stating, that the concept around all things being subject to God, or all things being subject to Jesus Christ, all things being under submission to Him, including the church, is, you know, for us to become a part of something, we need to be willing to yield. It's about, you know, it's like roundabouts. You know, for roundabouts to work, you need to be willing to yield. You know, our human nature will allow us to question ourselves for being willing to give up our position. While never giving up God's position, are we willing to sacrifice our own pride? Once again, at the willingness for the value in that relationship, in that submission, and there's that balance. Once again, that doesn't mean we do away with our own personalities. It doesn't mean we do away with our own opinions. It doesn't mean we think that our opinion and our value doesn't matter. That's not the case. Man or woman. It doesn't matter. The concept here is that, are we willing to become part of something greater? And to that end, is for us to develop this attitude of submission, especially when we talk about submitting to one another. Do we have a 20/20 vision of what the other party needs? If you are submitted, you are tuned to the needs and not to the shortcomings. Because they could be viewed either or. In other words, let's use an example. Someone has that personality of when you see them walk in the door of services, you want to make sure that you find your way out of their path because you don't want to talk to them because of their, you know, shortcomings. But if you view them as needs, are we willing to then sacrifice ourselves, willing to give up, build patience, listen to them, etc., because you view it as they need something? Don't allow people's shortcomings to short-circuit God's instruction and our duty as a Christian. That's part of submitting to one another. And understanding someone's need, someone's help or need for help, is part of this concept of submitting and submitting to one another. And it's what that other party needs. And it builds to that healthy relationship. I've had the opportunity in the past to counsel and work with people that in different aspects. And I remember specifically one gentleman that I was working with in a congregation that was struggling in their marriage relationship. And in chatting with this person, asking questions. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the relationship. Tell me about what's working and what's not working. And the statement was, well, the problem is that she doesn't submit to me. She doesn't listen to me. Gave some more specifics. And so I said, well, how about this week? you spend time reflecting on what she needs. What's important to her? What does she need in her walk and in her relationship and her day to day? What are her needs? Don't look at the shortcomings. What about her needs? What are her needs? I said, okay, I appreciate that. Came back the next week. Said, how'd it go? And his response was, well, I kind of come to the conclusion that her need is she needs to learn to be more submissive. Not the right way. It's not the healthy way. We need to reflect on what other folks, and what are we willing to sacrifice of ourselves for the other party. One, I think it's an important concept when we come to submission, especially for those who might be in authority or those who think they're in authority or who have a difficulty getting to the greater concept of what submission means and how God designed it, is that we cannot force someone to be submissive. We cannot force someone to be submissive. So whether it be the personal relationship or submitting to, in a marriage relationship or submitting in the church, submission is a personal act. We submit. Another person, if they're not at that point, we cannot force them. All we do is browbeat them. All we do is put them into fear. It's not submission. And it's an important difference because, even if you're not in authority or think you're in authority or even in the relationship, you can't make that other person be submissive. All you can do is set the right example. All you can do is be the one willing to submit to the other person in the fear of God. Because sometimes you think, well, so-and-so is not listening to me. And I'm an ordained elder, and they're not listening to me. So what we need to, and if we're not careful, it's real easy to step into an area of not allowing that person to grow, to develop, and helping coach and teach them to the point where they understand the concept of the things we just talked about. We can't force anyone else to be submissive. It's not our role. Our role is to be submissive ourselves. God's plan of salvation is just a marvelous thing, as we know. We just finished celebrating the ultimate fulfillment of God's plan of salvation up to the new heaven, new earth, and it's going to be incredible to know what's beyond that. Our minds can't comprehend and understand. But as far as our physical aspect and God's plan of salvation in this world, we just finished celebrating, and we know that it is more than simply Christ returning to this earth. We understand that we have a part in that plan, that God has extended an offer to his saints to be a part of that plan in such a glorious way. Part of our efforts in that plan of salvation is promoting a way of life that brings happiness to all. And it's through an attitude of submission, submitting to each other, submitting to our elders in the ministry, submitting to authority, and ultimately submitting to God. It's by developing that Christian trait that we can be an example for God in this world as well as in the coming kingdom of God.